Greetings,
hey world, and welcome to Bubble Wrap. On tonight's record-breaking 12th consecutive podcast, we're recapping the big games and news from Monday, August 10th in Florida. Shout out to everyone joining us live right now on YouTube, and much love to everybody listening to the podcast on the Athletic Network or Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your No Dunks classics. I'm Skeets, and joining us tonight, as always, we got Taz Mellis.
12 games in a row. I'm not trying to do anything big here, keep the hitting streak up. Just going to hit a single tonight, guys. Might even bunt it. Just going to get on base here.
We also got the bearded one, Trey Kirby.
Ayo!
Ayo! Taz might be going for singles, but we know this guy's swinging for the fences. The international man of mystery, taking it to the max, Lee Ellis.
Friends. Judgey had the day off today.
Who cares? And last but not least, making the magic happen, JD.
Hello.
There he is. And here we are. Before we get into the games, we posted a brand new No Dunks t-shirt today, calling it Bubble Ball, and it's very magical. So go cop that shirt at nodunks.com. All proceeds from sales of this one are going to be donated to the Lebanese Red Cross. So it's a win-win. I think you guys will get a kick out of this shirt. It's a lot of fun. Trey did a great job on this one as well. And so far, so good. People are snatching these bad boys up. So go to nodunks.com for the latest merch from your boys.
Honestly, I would say do it as quick as you can. You never know with this one. You never know. It's just a magical design, you know? It's a magical design.
It's a magical design. All right. Tonight's podcast, should we start with just 20 minutes on Chris Boucher's dunk on $2? You want to go with that? What do you think, Lee? You want to go with that big dunk?
No.
You
didn't. I'd rather talk about Bol Bol.
Yeah.
Throwing darts out there.
We're waiting on the Nuggets-Lakers game to wrap up. And, oh boy, we were like, uh-oh, it's going to go to overtime again. It's going to be a late night here for Bubble Wrap. But no, Kyle Kuzma comes through in the clutch. Game-winning three with about 0.4 seconds left. And then I don't know what the heck the Nuggets were doing at the end there. Hey, maybe they thought they had time to go for a quick two inside to Bol Bol and then maybe play the foul game with just 0.4. But yeah, anyway, I think they were sort of throwing it in there at the end. Lakers, though, did they get their mojo back here tonight, Tass? 124, 121 victory. They had lost three in a row. LeBron, good game. You know, AD, good game. Kuzma, great game. What do you think? They felt like they wanted this one a lot more than the Nuggets. I think that's safe to say.
They did, but they weren't really giving it at the end on defense. They're playing Ole, and that's why these games are a little bit irritating. Even that 0.4 seconds left you bring up, they're down 3 points, the Denver Nuggets are, and they just toss it in. It seems like they don't want to give away their end of game plays. It seems like throughout the league, teams aren't really showing all their cards. That's my excuse for TJ Warren tonight against Jimmy Butler. But hey, we'll get to that a little bit later. Yeah, the Lakers look fine. I don't think they're really trying all that much. I think the story tonight is about the Kuz. You know, I'm high on Kyle Kuzma being there in the end. I think they're still looking for the guys. It'll probably be a game-by-game scenario where they find out who's going to play alongside Anthony Davis and LeBron James. And Kuz has been sort of the bright light in this dim light of a bubble for the Lakers that who've been struggling. I just don't think LeBron cares until it comes to Monday.
I actually do not agree with this take at all tonight. I thought the Lakers were playing to win this game and trying to get some things going here, get an offense that was garbage in this bubble going, get some confidence going a little bit. LeBron played 38 minutes. AD played 38 minutes. And on the flip side, the Nuggets played their star guys for a little bit and then, again, waved sort of the white flag for the most part. I thought they wanted it, Tass. I'm not sure I agree with the, you know, I get it from the big picture. Like, does it really matter? Let's just not get injured. We're the number one seed. But there was something tonight from this team I thought was a little bit like, you know, we're on the late game here on TNT, the game leading into the record-breaking 12th consecutive bubble wrap. let's put up a good performance because let's at least get a flow going. Lee,
they wanted to snap that three-game streak.
They'd lost three in a row. You're not having LeBron, and that was basically their closing lineup out on the floor for the last quarter. I think LeBron and Anthony Davis are playing. The Nuggets' second unit was playing really well. Mm-hmm. Scoring the ball, and they will look at this game and think we should have won this one. So I think it was more Frank Vogel was saying, listen, we know we've locked up number one. We're not playing all that well, though. LeBron, maybe he's got a little bit of a tweak in that groin. Maybe he wanted to stretch that out just to see how that's doing. And the Lakers just wanted to get back in the win column. I think that's important. I think going into the playoffs, you want to be playing well, and the Lakers hadn't been playing well. So I think they absolutely went after this game tonight and got a really, really good performance from that second unit from the Nuggets, because Jokic wasn't on the end. It was Bol Bol, it was Plumlee, it was Morris, it was Bates Diop, and the Nuggets gave them everything they could. So the Lakers pulled this one off. And they, you know, again, LeBron just simply wouldn't be on the court if the Lakers didn't care about this result. And I think Frank Vogel was just trying to get his guys back on the same page and looking at sort of what he would like to use down the stretch in games as well, as far as his lineups.
It's a very double-edged sword because, you know, this game was, if PJ Dozier makes a free throw and Kyle Kuzma's three rims out, we're talking about this being a bad loss for the Lakers. Yeah. Seeing them blow the lead in the fourth quarter to a team that's not even playing their starters, it would be a different story, no doubt about it, if Kuzma doesn't hit a major clutch shot. But you also look at the shooting from three, 14 of 29 for the Lakers, and that's where they did get their mojo back. That's been a huge concern so far for the Lakers in the bubble, not knocking down threes. So I think that's a lot of the reason you're hearing the talk about the offense getting going again, because they're finally knocking down the shots that are going to be important for them come playoff time. But it is a bright spot seeing Kuzma hit that huge clutch three. He's at the very least earned the first shot at being a clutch lineup guy, right? I mean, he's been great all bubble long. He's contributing on defense, and he has the confidence to take a shot when it really matters.
Yeah, it was a nice play.
Yeah, and the close of the game is what I was really referring to, because I just don't think they cared to really go all that hard playing defensively against that, you know, the 6 through 10 guys on the Denver Nuggets, who, yeah, obviously outscored the Lakers bench by a billion tonight. They did their job. I was more impressed by the Nuggets starters. I just think it's a crazy story for them to come down to the bubble. They don't know who the heck is playing for them, basically. So many guys contracted the virus or coming late or injured. And Michael Porter Jr. comes down and basically steals a starting spot for them. He's playing against LeBron James, starting against him for the first time in his career, and just DGAF just goes right at LeBron. And that's the kind of attitude I think the Nuggets need to get to that next level, because it just seems like they're sort of, you know, plateaued at this point, and they sort of need somebody, even though Michael Porter Jr. isn't a rah-rah guy. I think they just need a bit of a spark, a bit of spice, even though Jamal Murray was supposed to be that guy. And it's just an interesting lineup move. When Will Barton and Gary Harris come back, I assume Michael Porter Jr. will still be in that starting lineup. How the heck do you take him out? I just like the way he has that confidence. It's just a kind of a wild story that's, I don't know, kind of been overshadowed, I guess, at this point, because his numbers aren't huge game to game. But he was 6 for 6 tonight, right in LeBron's eye, and you know, he's only played 24 minutes. The thing is, with this team, I don't think the Lakers are really concerned, because there's absolutely nobody who can guard LeBron on this team when he wants to put his head down. Paul Millsap is just, he's just, there's too much size, and we go back to the Cleveland Atlanta days that aren't good.
No, for sure.
Trey, has he ever beaten LeBron in a playoff game? I don't think so, right?
I think that's right. I think it might be a clean sweep, but and that was, what, 4 years ago at this point. Yeah, that's a tough matchup, no doubt. But it's also pretty unlikely that the Nuggets and Lakers run into each other come playoff time.
Yeah, it is unlikely. I sort of thought LeBron and the Lakers were going to take this game seriously earlier in the day, when LeBron was showing up to the arena with an open flowing shirt. You know, you're going with that look, then you better sort of back it up with a pretty good performance. I was thinking he was actually having a rough night until he got it going. But I'm also disappointed, especially for this record-breaking night that we just got to keep pointing out. Nobody wanted to rock the LeBron, you know, open shirt. Trey, I thought for sure you were going to be jumping on Zoom here with that look tonight.
I probably should have. I botched it, honestly. Let me go run downstairs and wake everybody up real quick.
It's okay.
Dwayne Wade
okay.
already did it, though, so yeah, he kind of beat you to the punch a bit.
Yeah,
you know?
That was smooth. That was funny. I like these like weird color-blocked shirts Dwayne Wade is wearing. Like, he's taking the dress shirt, which is a fairly normal shirt, because it's, you know, we did a lot of television. We had a lot of normal colored dress shirts, you know? But he's adding like these weird bars, Trey. Like, is this have I just missed this sort of, you know, groundbreaking fashion move? There's like a bar around an arm or a big weird stripe the other night. And like, this is different.
This is just more people hopping on board with the shoulder plaids bandwagon. You know, it started with plaid on the shoulders. Now it's just blocks of color everywhere. Pretty soon, shirts will never be one color only. You heard
Shout
it here
to
first.
My buddy Grizz and my buddy Dub creating the shoulder plaid. So, yeah, I'm surprised that didn't catch on. I wanted to ask you guys one thing they brought up on the broadcast. I think Jared Greenberg was talking about it. Do you think there's some truth to this idea that the Lakers, as the number one seed, actually have a disadvantage because of this play-in series? Like, the argument being, well, they're going to be sitting around here over the weekend not knowing who they're going to be playing, while all the other teams will be. I mean, they're going to know their matchup. They're going to start game planning for it. Okay, what are we going to do and all that? They're not going to know if it's, you know, whatever the final two teams are come Saturday. Tass, why don't you start? Like, is there something to that? Or, like, relax, you're the number one seed. Does it really matter? Like, should you even be concerned about that?
I guess they find out Thursday night when all the Western Conference teams are done, whether it's one of two teams. So they will have the, let's say, in one scenario, the Blazers or the Grizzlies playing on Saturday night. So what are they game planning for, really? You know, with the Blazers, I guess you're talking about a small guard. You're talking about a water bug. How are we going to deal with Dame? How are we going to deal with John Morant? And I guess, I don't know, I don't really think it's a big deal that they have to game plan for those guys. You know, if you're going with the Blazers, that their bigs are going to play more of a role up against Yusuf Nurkic. I guess both scenarios, you're going to have a big playing a lot of the time with Jonas Valanciunas. I don't know, I'm just not buying it. An extra day? And I guess an extra 2 days.
Knowing your opponent. That's all it is. But yeah, if you're that worried as the number one seed about who you're going to play as the eighth seed, then you're probably your title aspirations are a little weak.
I don't think it's worried. It's just as much that you don't have as much preparation time. And that's all it is. Now, the advantage comes back to you because that team will have played more recently in perhaps two games. So they're going to come in a little bit heavy-legged compared to the other teams. But, yeah, I think when you earn, and that's what Frank Vogel was saying to Jared Greenberg, or, you know, when Greenberg was talking about it, he's like, you know, we work hard to get that number one seed, and now we have to wait a little bit longer than every other team in the playoffs. And that sort of is something that shouldn't happen if you're the number one seed, because coming into the bubble, remember, they were trying to figure out all sorts of ways to advantageous, that's not really the right word, but give an advantage to the higher seeds. And now this one, this has been a problem that I guess no one really saw, was this actually works against that team. So I buy it. It's not going to make a huge difference because, look, they've played these teams. They know how to scout them anyway. But teams and coaches like to have a game plan. They like to have a couple of days to work on it and then go over it in practice. And if you only have a day or so in between, it gives you less time. So I think there's something to it. I don't think it's major, but I can understand why the Lakers would be like, hey, come on, that's something that's a little bit unfair when we are we have the number one seed in the whole conference.
Right, and we don't even have home court advantage as it is because of this weird situation, which was added on the broadcast too. Yeah, I don't know. I think at this point, the Suns have played so well. We're going to get to them. They remain perfect. The Spurs have surprised a lot of people. They're still the zombie Spurs. You can't kill them. You know, Blazers got their full squad. Grizzlies are holding on. Why don't we just do this? Let's just call it a four-way tie between those four teams, and the Lakers get to pick who they want to play.
We'll make it like a
30-minute show on NBA TV or on TNT, whatever you want to do, and you know, we'll talk it out. We'll get LeBron in there, we'll get Vogel in there, and they can like debate who they should want to play. Who do they really want to take on? You know, like, and we can have a representative for each team there. Something there, man. They're all in one spot. We can make that television show happen.
Yeah, why not? Hey, why not? Things are different this year. So who would they pick? That's the question.
Things are different.
I wouldn't be surprised if they pick the Spurs right now, to be honest, especially if Derek White is out. I mean, they've got no one in the middle with Jakob Poeltl there. DeRozan, obviously, he can go and get your buckets, but the Spurs' defense has been awful this year. So I think they'd probably pick San Antonio out of those teams. The Suns are hot. The Blazers have got a couple of stud players. And
yeah, you're not picking the Suns or Blazers. I think you'd either pick the Grizzlies or Spurs.
Yeah, and the Grizzlies have got that, like, what happens if Morant just goes crazy? That we don't want that. We want to deal with the Spurs. We know to some degree what we're dealing with.
Fascinating. The other thing from the last couple days, I don't want to call it like complaining or anything, but LeBron James admitted that he's adjusting to playing without fans, Trey. He had a lot to say about it. I mean, I'm not going to read the whole quote, but he's like, it's a weird dynamic. I'm not used to playing in empty gyms with no fans. I mean, especially for a guy like LeBron, who was like, obviously, like one of the most popular athletes in the world when he was in high school. So there's obviously a packed house every time he plays. And then he also talked about like the backdrop, it being dark and stuff like that. I know some people are like, come on, like by this point, I mean, this isn't the first or second day there down in Orlando. Like, you're still talking about this. What's your take on LeBron? You know, again, probably was asked about it and was just being forthright about it.
Still an incredible flex to be like, I haven't played in a gym this empty since high school. You know, that's pretty amazing.
Middle school for him, probably.
Yeah, I guess that's probably true. But a lot of players have raved about the shooting backdrops. Obviously, LeBron is not one of them. He hasn't been shooting well so far, but are we seriously going to let this guy plant the seeds for a shooting backdrop and being the number one seed at a disadvantage before we even get to the playoffs? Come on. Come on. Yeah. Come on.
Yeah.
He'll figure it out. 5 for 11 tonight. He figured it out.
He did start to figure it out. Yeah, he was hitting the three ball a little bit. He said, it's very dark, extremely dark. You can literally hear a feather hit dark. The ground. I'm just getting more and more comfortable. I mean, he added that at the end, playing in the bubble. Lee, how would you shoot in an empty gym, in a weird, cavernous gym? You've done it before at arenas.
Yeah, I've done it forever. Well, that's the thing. In the Superdome in New Orleans, doing
that's
the
weird.
3-point shootout there, man, that felt like the hoop was miles away.
Right.
That's easily the deepest sort of like arena that I've been in where you're shooting. You walk out to that 3-point line, especially at the top, and you're just like, oh my God, this is going to take so much effort to get that shot up. But yeah, so it'd be different for LeBron, you know? I can understand why.
Yeah.
It's basically the same thing.
A different look, but yeah. I don't know about still talking about it maybe like 10 days in. It's a little strange to me. Yeah. And again, I mean, now he's got it going, so it won't even be a big deal. But I just wanted to get your take on it. Anything to add to that, Tess?
No. I think Lee summed it up. He is LeBron. perfectly. We're all good.
All right, let's get to the Suns then. Devin Booker's 35. It helped them top the Thunder tonight, 128-101. So they're still perfect. The Cinderella Suns. 6-0. Now, OKC played without a lot of their guys. No SGA, no Gallinari, no Steven Adams, no Dennis Schroeder, no Nerlens Noel. It goes on and on and on. And it was a good win regardless, okay, because they got to win. They have to win to get into this damn thing. But they had a bit of a scare task at the beginning of this game when it was suddenly like we learned DeAndre Ayton had missed a coronavirus test, excuse me, on Sunday, which then forced him to have to like take another one, of course, and then arrive late to the Suns-Thunder game. Like, it's already underway. He missed the entire first quarter. I mean, he was there for a bit of it, but they got him on the bike. He wasn't in the first quarter. He ends up playing, but what a weird moment. And man, like, how happy is he that they won this game? I mean, he had 10 and 6 in like 17 minutes. He was fine. Not great. It was probably his worst game down there. But you imagine the Suns had lost this game. The story this would be with DeAndre Ayton, you know, blowing it, really, missing the window for his test, and putting his team at jeopardy, really, for the first quarter, and luckily he did play.
Yeah, and luckily he was playing a team that, yeah, we're missing all those guys, three starters sitting out, and they're not the deepest of teams beyond that. Plus, Dennis Schroeder still isn't there, so yeah, they're playing. You know, I was enjoying the Darius Bazley show for a while, who is their big, lanky guy that looks exactly like all that tape you watch around draft day. You see a big guy flying around. He just screams project. He's 20 years old. And it was fun to watch him, to be honest. But yeah, they didn't have enough. They were just hitting everything. Guys who, like Andre Robertson, became a stud shooter all of a sudden. And then, yeah, it turned. It was wild. I was starting to feel a little antsy about the whole situation. But you threw it in Slack, Skeets, basically as the game tipped off. It came down from Shams Charania that he was en route to the game. So everything was okay. And I guess because maybe a tiny flashback of him, you know, having a 25-game suspension this season. So just some weird stuff. But hey, it's happened to a few guys where they've missed a test. And then the debate starts on Twitter. Shouldn't they just remember? What do they have to do in a bubble where they can't, you know, say, hey, Siri, remind me, coronavirus test at 10 a.m. No, no, I don't have one, actually. They take really long in Georgia. Don't book me for a test, Siri.
I think he was on the Woj pod too on the weekend. I don't know, maybe it went up on Saturday. Who knows when he recorded it, Lee, but was talking about how, you know, how mature he's become now and stuff like that. So people were pointing out, like, this podcast just went up and now you miss a test on the same day. What are you doing, man? But it didn't ultimately matter because despite a great first quarter from the Thunder, yeah, they just don't have enough guys, enough bodies to hang with the team. And the Suns that have been playing phenomenal basketball and are still desperate. And, you know, Devin Booker hitting shots like he's in the Superdome, like distance there, Lee, 39 feet, I think it was, yep. In the play-by-play, felt further than that, flat-footed, and splashed that, and he had a great, you know, overall game going for another 30-plus. What was your take on that game, or Ayton, or whatever?
Yeah, well, the Ayton thing, I thought he probably wouldn't have played at all, but then the report came through that he could play when he was ready, so maybe it's the Woj curse that he's dealing with there, but... The thing is, I'm really surprised Chris Paul played. I know Billy Donovan said he wants to play because he's feeling good. He wants to get out there. And he only played 24 minutes. But considering all those other guys who weren't playing, clearly the Thunder weren't trying to win this game anyway. So I thought there's no real point in risking Chris Paul because he's the sort of guy who we know historically he picks up groins or hamstring injuries. And I thought this is just a game where something like that could go wrong. But anyway, ultimately, the Thunder weren't trying to win this game, and the Suns are just right now rolling, and they just need to keep that momentum going because they can't afford to drop a game here. They can still win out and not make it. So, that's the thing. It's certainly the feel-good story of the bubble right now, and it's good to see them keep on winning and Booker to keep playing the way that he has. But, again, the second half of this game, you were kind of like, well, there's not really a whole lot to take out of it because one team's trying to win and one team isn't. So... you just have to you just sort of enjoy the Booker shot and all that, but it wasn't like you felt the Thunder were really trying to get back into it.
The only thing of note that did happen in the second half that was interesting was Diallo diving at Booker's legs.
Oh yeah,
going for a loose ball, I should say, but taking out Booker, and he was none too happy. I don't know if you heard Eddie Johnson on the Suns call too.
Yeah,
Eddie Johnson was telling him to drop like a Macho Man Randy Savage elbow on his head. That's what he said.
I'm surprised Chris Paul told him we don't do that around here. Basically, right? He's calling him out, saying like you should have been educated a little bit here, Hamidou, but people have a lot of different opinions on the old diving at the legs. Yeah. Are you just being scrappy? I mean, I don't like the leg dive, but also Hamidou Diallo, that's how he's getting on the court, playing scrappy, right? He's got to do everything he can to win over a coach, especially in a game where he actually has an opportunity. Just watch your legs, peeps.
He got Diallo. Yeah, we always debate it. The old Matthew Dellavedova taking out a Kyle Korver situation or an Al Horford situation, that series. I mean, we really haven't had a lot of leg dives in the last couple of years. But staying with the Suns broadcast, in the commercials, they're already selling their suites in the stadium for next year. They're riding this wave.
They're pushing that like crazy. They're pushing that every Suns game I've watched. Like these video boards they got and like, get in on the ground floor or in these suites, I should say. Yeah.
Yeah, every commercial break, we're seeing the suites. And obviously, we don't know what next year is going to be, but I guess it's smart. They're not selling their season tickets, but they're selling their suites, I guess, where you can maybe socially... But it doesn't make sense. Like, they're not going to be there. But they're just taking every opportunity to ride the six-game winning streak. The first six-game winning streak in how long? 40
2014,
years?
Isn't it? Okay. Since they had the three-headed monster point guards, I think.
I heard 40 years as well. Dragic, didn't check.
I think it's since they had Dragic, IT, and who was the third guard?
Eric Bledsoe.
Bledsoe, yeah.
Wow.
Remember that squad? Didn't we have a photo of the three guys holding the basketball?
Guardians of the Galaxy, I think it was.
That's right. Great memory.
48 wins.
Yeah, 48 wins without making the playoffs. You slipped it in there, Lee. As incredible as the Suns have been, they still actually don't control their own destiny. That's the insane part. They're 6-0, could finish 8-0, and still miss the play-in round. Which would be cruel. That would just be cruel, honestly, because they need the Grizzlies and or the Blazers to lose at least one game.
Yeah.
Let alone whatever, of course, the Spurs. But they're actually, I think, a little bit up on the Spurs if they go 8-0. The Suns do. So this is amazing, though. They're doing all of this. I had forgotten about it until today for some reason. Suns are doing all of this without Kelly Oubre Jr. and Bainsey.
Mm-hmm.
Those would be, if I had asked you heading into the bubble, rank the Suns players from best to worst. You're going Booker 1, and then, I don't even know if you're putting Ayton number 2 heading into the bubble. You are maybe putting those two guys. I guess what I'm getting at is like 2-3 or 3-4 somewhere in the top 5. So two of their top 5 players, I don't want to put words in your mouth, Lee. Am I right that? I mean, I think that's where you would have them.
Yeah, I mean, Ayton is that one who should be there at number two, but I don't think he was a lock to be there. Kelly Oubre, yeah, he had a pretty good season for them. Yeah. And Bainsey, I mean, Bainsey's very solid for that team because he was knocking down the three as well this year. But clearly Ayton has stood up and showing that he's got a lot of skill. You know, coming into this bubble too, they won two of their last three, so they've nearly had like a 9-game winning streak here, which would be incredible here for the Suns. But if it doesn't matter though, if they don't make the playoffs, this is actually just some positive stuff coming out of Phoenix. Some good, you know, real basketball that you're like, this team might finally be starting to improve. Now, again, we might not see basketball for 5 months after this from the Phoenix Suns, so there's a lot of time between now and next season, but at least you look at the pieces and the way they're competing and the way that Devin Booker, in my opinion, has sort of elevated himself to a franchise guy. That's probably the most important turning point for this franchise. If he can become kind of like a James Harden in some way, then all of a sudden the Suns' outlook is really, really bright.
Oh, I would 100% agree with that. I would add to that, like, Cam Johnson. He looks like he could be, you know, a potential steal, if you want to call him that, from the draft. With his early development, Mikal Bridges looks obviously like already a guy that's going to be on all defensive teams. And then even Javon Carter, man, that guy is like the perfect like backup guard you want on your team. Like, he is a goddamn dog. I think they call him the pit bull or the bulldog or something like that.
Yeah.
He would be so annoying to play, I feel like. And in this one, I think he had three steals and two blocks, and he's just all over guys. It's how he's built. I'm with you, Lee. You're right. Even if they don't get in, I sort of hope they do at this point because it's so cool, especially if they go 8-0. If they go 8-0 and don't get in, that would suck.
If they go 8-0 and don't get in, it'd be like winning 48 games and not making the playoffs.
Yeah.
And then not getting back. That's the bad thing. That's the bad thing, Suns. You got to do it a whole season. We've seen them have great stretches, and it's amazing they're having a great stretch right here. And to me, I was like, oh, we've seen them do stretches before. Who cares? But right now, that's all you got to do. You got to play really well for 2 weeks. They're doing it. Yep. Hopefully it pays off. Hopefully they go 8-0. Because, I mean, even if they miss the playoffs, going 8-0, you got a nice little chip on your shoulder. You just got to be able to roll it over next year. You can't be missing your COVID tests and getting suspended 25 games. You got to be professional about it. Honestly, right? Yep. Like, you're going to have time off. You're going to have a weird start to the next season. You got to make it count.
I just gave James Harden a compliment, and no one's going to congratulate me for that or anything, or just going to let that one slide under the radar.
I actually missed it. What did you say?
I said if Devin Booker can become like a James Harden.
Oh.
I mean.
Oh, it's such a backhanded compliment coming from you. You're just dissing him, basically, right there. He's been phenomenal. I'm pumped, obviously, as a Booker fan for a long time, to see him get the accolades, to see him get the attention even on this squad right now. So,
hold on, let me just jump in. If they do go 8-0, and there is a legit possibility because they've got a hobbled Philly squad up next who are sitting out guys as well, a bunch of guys out, and then Dallas on Thursday. Who knows? They could probably be locked in. Seventh seed probably don't play all their guys. Legitimately could go 8-0.
Yep.
And the eighth place team, the Memphis Grizzlies that they're trailing, are currently have one win. If they get to 2-6, they probably the Suns probably don't make the playoffs. Is that right? They win the last two and the Suns win one game.
Yeah, the way I've broke it down is, the Suns could go 8-0, but they have to have the Grizzlies and the Blazers, who are ahead of them still right now. Grizzlies in eighth, Blazers half a game behind them, and then the Suns and Spurs actually half a game behind the Blazers. They need them to drop a game. Yeah.
Oh, okay, one game.
So at least one of them, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the thing. That's the thing.
It just would seem nuts that they invite a team that goes 8-0 and they don't make the playoffs. It just seems like such a mistake to invite them. If they had the best performance they could have and they still can't make the playoffs, it just seems kind of pointless.
It'd be like taking the movie Cinderella and ending it differently. And I don't know the movie Cinderella well enough to actually end it differently. Trey, help me out if you do.
It's a happy one. You're not going to believe it.
Right. Yeah, but that's my point. It would be like, it wouldn't be the Cinderella Suns. It would be like a weird version of Cinderella. So what would happen in the... Okay, what happens in the movie Cinderella again? She loses her slipper, right? Yeah.
But then the Grand Duke goes throughout the kingdom and eventually they try it on the stepsisters. It doesn't fit. Cinderella's like, oh, let me try it on. Perfect fit.
Right.
But they drop it. It shatters. Oh, her dreams also shattered until She reaches in her pocket and pulls out the matching glass slipper, the only other one in the world. And that's how they knew it was true love.
Mm. Are you serious? That's how it ends?
Yeah. Well, I mean, wow. They go to the castle and get married, and Cinderella's a beautiful queen, for sure.
But it's like a Foot Locker ad?
It's a little bit like a Foot Locker ad. Tass slips in, he's like, have you tried the heel lock?
It's a bit different in the Inglourious Bastards when the guy puts the shoe on the lady and then just strangles her to death.
Yep, well, a little different. Maybe that's what the Cinderella son's...
That's a better analogy, I think. Yeah. Okay.
We got there. It took us a while, but we got there. Remaining schedule for these teams. Let's just throw it in there to keep everybody up to speed. The Grizzlies have the Celtics on Tuesday and then the Bucks on Thursday. Blazers have the Mavericks on Tuesday, the Nets on Thursday. Tass said it, the Sixers have Philly, who are going to be missing Embiid and Richardson. I think Harris and Horford are questionable too, or maybe they're even out now. They have them on Tuesday, and then Dallas on Thursday. And the Spurs, who are still alive, they're still in the mix here, they have the Rockets on Tuesday and the Jazz on Thursday. So, I like that they're all playing on the same days here, Tuesdays and Thursdays. I said it last night, I wish they were playing each other some of these games down the stretch, but it is what it is, and we will see. Grizzlies and Blazers really just got to win a game, and I think they're in. I think it's as simple as that. But good win, again, from the Perfect Suns. And my prediction, I'm holding on to my one team will go 8-0 in the bubble. I'm down to the Phoenix Suns. Come on through, guys. All right, we're going to get to tonight's Jimmy versus TJ battle and a little bit more, but first, a word from our sponsor.
Well, folks, it finally happened. I was out trying to rip some lips, and I fell in the lake. Pretty embarrassing to be flailing in the lake as multiple families walked on by. The only silver lining to any of it is that I happened to be wearing my Manscaped boxer briefs when it went down. Sure, I was nipples deep in water, but thanks to their patented high-performance anti-chafe technology, my fishing tackle felt safe and secure. And guys, that's just the undies. Manscaped does so much more. You could even say they have forever changed the grooming game with their Perfect Package 3.0 grooming kit. It comes with the essential Lawnmower 3.0 waterproof cordless body trimmer, the best one on the market. You also get all kinds of liquid formulations to round out your manscaping routine. Plus, you can subscribe to the Perfect Package to get a new trimmer blade delivered to your door every 3 months. For a limited time, if you subscribe, you get the Shed travel bag and those soft, soft boxer briefs. You gotta protect your rod and reel, fellas. Right now, you can get 20% off and free shipping with the code THEATHLETIC20 at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com when you use code THEATHLETIC. Do yourself a favor and always use the right tools for the job.
So, you fell into the water because you had a 40-pounder on the end of your line, right?
That's the definition of a fishing story, right? I had a huge one, and it pulled me in. I didn't just slip in the mud and then take a step, and suddenly I'm worried that my phone is going to get soaking wet, and I got to throw my AirPods up on there. Oh, boy. Then a family of four walks by and like, you doing okay down there? And I got to play it cool. I'm like, yeah, I'm good. I'm just going to get up here right in a second. Luckily, there was a dude like standing in the lake fly fishing. So maybe these people thought I was doing this on purpose.
You thought you were going in to join them? Yeah. Got your waders on? Yeah.
Not quite the case. And I figured out that my upper body strength could do with some strengthening, as it's very hard to pull yourself up.
You've done too much yoga. Your core and your legs are...
I know. I need somebody drop the link down for a pull-up routine or something. Tass, let me borrow your pull-up bar. I got to get my shoulders right because you never know what's going to happen out there on the lake.
It's tough, man.
Yeah. You got all that. I mean, you obviously fell in the water too, so your clothes are getting heavy, and I didn't realize you were that deep. You went up to the nips?
I went nips deep. I didn't expect it either. My shoes were like going down into the muck. I was like, I'm gonna lose these shoes. I got pulling them off my feet. I've got cuts all up and down my legs. Like Isla saw me, she's like, Daddy, how did you get that wound on your leg? It's like, well, I fell in the lake. Grown-ups make mistakes too.
Wow. Learning lesson.
She's seen you fall down the stairs though before, hasn't she?
Yeah, but you know, it's different when you're bleeding. She's used to her dumb old dad falling down the stairs. That's old hat.
Quite versatile though. Stairs, the lake.
I can fall anywhere.
I just like
a young Bill Dance.
I know, that's what I was just gonna say. Is like when you told me you fell in the lake, I was like, are you just trying to actually be Bill Dance now? Like that's what he would do. And I hope you recorded it, because I will laugh. But you didn't have it on camera. Oh, well, yeah. I'm glad you're
right. You gotta borrow those Dion waders from Graydon Gordian. Get out there. Yeah, and JD's workout routine, because JD was the guy who said, you gotta lift, bro.
Yeah.
Gotta lift, bro.
JD, could you pull yourself out of the lake? No problem. You just like...
Yeah.
Jump right out, wouldn't you?
Well, yeah, except I would be concerned about my Crocs getting lost in the in the muck.
Maybe that's why you guys are falling in water, because you're wearing slippery Crocs on your feet. Your feet think they're crocodiles. They're trying to get into the water.
I'm literally putting myself in Trey's shoes. I don't have Crocs. I don't wear Crocs. But I guarantee you he was wearing Crocs.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You would think that they would want to be in the mud. And trust me, they did. No, they're like, this is my natural environment, trying to burrow down deeper.
Trey, are these shoes going around online, these Yeezy D-Rose, like, collab shoes, whatever the heck these are real or is this a joke? I asked today and I still don't know.
They're supposed to be real. There was, like, that other shot of some model was wearing them. So we'll see if they come out. You gonna get a pair?
Oh, my goodness. I mean, how would you even describe them to somebody? They look like skeleton fish.
Yeah, they look like fish bones.
Yeah. But are like croc material,
yeah, like
I guess?
Very, they look like a very soft, floppy material. I don't know what it's made out of. Very strange.
Lee, would you wear those if you got them sent to you for free?
No, Lee wouldn't
wear those?
No. You know, actually, Skeets, the other day I saw someone, I've seen this guy a few times, he runs in those like glove shoes.
Oh, yeah.
That to me does not look at all comfortable to go running in.
People that run in them love them, live and die by them. I'm not a fan. I once saw a guy in toe socks at a cottage, and I was repulsed, to be quite honest. Let alone shoes.
I would think if you're running, though, you need more cushioning and more support. Not, you know, basically running on bare feet.
I don't know. There's a lot of research saying we got too much cushioning. Like, tribes way back in the day,
run.
Lee. Yeah, exactly.
Born to run.
That's,
read
that's
the
a
book.
Great book. Did you read that test?
I did, yeah.
That's a fantastic book. Lee, you should read that. It's fascinating.
I would never do that. Never do that.
What, run barefoot?
Yeah.
That would hurt.
They run like the, basically, you know, like the super crazy races like Paul Flannery does without shoes.
Oh, yeah.
No, thank you. Like the, you know, sort of like the Spartan race, you know, but actual like 50K, whatever those marathons are, 100K?
There's lots of variations, but yeah. Okay, I just figured it out. The Suns going 8-0, but not making it into the play-in tournament would be like the movie Cinderella, where he shows up, but instead of a glass slipper, it's one of these weird toad shoes, like Vibrams or whatever they're called. She's like, ew, this is definitely not mine. Okay, let's get into the Jimmy versus TJ Warren, the rematch. We were all pumped up for this one. Who do we call to get our money back? It wasn't that great. It was a bit of a disappointment. Of course, the last time these two guys played, last time they met back in January, they exchanged bumps and words and air kisses, and we got an ejection and like $60,000 worth of fines, and there's a lot of chatter. And it's like, all right, this is going to be great when they go at it. They were supposed to play in March, of course, and then here they are in the bubble. But, you know, they kept their cool, and, you know, even Jimmy was playing on Warren a lot, but the Pacers were not really going to him a whole lot, Tass. And you said it early. You think that was by design, it sounds like. You got the tinfoil on here. A little conspiracy theory? The Pacers are saving something?
Nah, I'm making an excuse for TJ Warren. I think it was more like his performance against the Suns, his old team, where he got shut down by Mikal Bridges. It was sort of reminiscent of that. He just didn't really... He was hesitating. Even when he got the ball a few times up top, he passed away from a three-point shot. He wasn't in TJ Warren heat mode. He absolutely wasn't. And so you can try and really dig into that excuse because or that line of thinking that they're going to be playing in the first round. So maybe he's just not showing Jimmy all his cards.
Right. You don't buy it.
It's hard. It's really hard to buy that. But if it happens on, you know, Monday or Tuesday when they start that series, if they do start that series, they could be lining up and he shows us. It isn't a coincidence to me that the only two bad games that he's had in the bubble are against his old team and against an old rival. It seems sort of connected to me. Like he just wasn't as free and easy as he was in the rest of the games.
No, but was he not free and easy because Jimmy was on him? I guess is maybe some of the argument. He was guarded on 25 possessions, Warren was, from Jimmy. TJ scored 2 points on him and only shot 3 times. He was 1 of 3 during those trips. That's the breakdown that I saw going around. What were you going to say, Lee, on this?
I thought he forced him. I know he's been scoring a lot in the first quarters, but he took a couple of ugly shots and just tried to get some baskets. And then that seemed to knock his confidence for the rest of the game. Whereas Jimmy, I thought, got to the free throw line early.
Yeah.
He didn't shoot all that well, but I thought Jimmy Butler, considering he had 19 and 11, I thought he actually pretty much dominated this game because he just kind of was like, I'm not going to get into this like pissing contest with TJ. I'm just going to take my team and lead them to the win. And there was no tension. There was no moments between him and TJ.
Nothing.
And that was Jimmy, I think, again, just saying, you know what, like, I'm not even going to lower myself to this, because that's what Jimmy was saying. He's not in my league and that.
Yeah.
And so he didn't want to get into any fights or anything like that with him. Instead, put it on the scoreboard. And really, the Heat, this was maybe their best win of the bubble, because they dominated them early on. And I didn't think the Pacers really brought it today at all. Bertazzi, man. Oh, he only played 5 minutes today. That was 5 too many, I think. I mean, Jay Crowder was good, I thought, for the Heat. There was they just seemed to be a much better team than Indiana today, who, I don't know if maybe they tried to go to TJ and TJ was trying to deflect or whatever, but he didn't have it. And the Pacers really struggled on offense tonight.
I'm worried about this matchup for the Pacers, Trey, a 4-5 matchup. I think the Heat have their number. And I love what TJ Warren's done down here. I'm sure he's got a game or two still left in him, big game, you know, a 30-plus maybe in him. But I just think the Heat are much better defensively than the Pacers and are a better shooting team in some of their guys from outside, in at Duncan Robinson. And even Dragic, I thought, looked pretty good tonight in coming back from injury. I don't have a lot of faith in the Pacers actually making this a long series if it is a 4-5 matchup, and the Heat own tiebreakers over Indiana and Philadelphia, so they're very likely going to be the fourth seed. What's your take on the Jimmy TJ thing and just this series if we do see it?
Jimmy versus TJ, you know, we were expecting a knockout sort of fight, and it ended up being a 5-round decision. It was fine. You know, it was even the Instagram that Jimmy Butler posted afterwards of like him doing some dancing, some jolly dancing along with mood was a little bit underwhelming considering the previous iterations we had seen. But, you know, Jimmy outplayed him. TJ had a bad game compared to Jimmy Butler. And, you know, Butler was coming back off an injury too. So I would say a win for Butler, but hopefully we see a little bit more of it. I do think the Heat would have to be favored over Indiana. We're kind of forgetting at this point, with TJ Warren, how well he's been playing, that Domantas Sabonis is missing, right? They're missing their all-star from this year. Victor Oladipo hasn't really established himself so far in the bubble. And like you're saying, there are a few guys on the Heat who can get really, really hot. And when they're shooting well, they're a tough team to beat because they're going to bring it defensively on the other end as well.
Yeah, still a win for the content creators, though, because I watched this game from start to finish. You know, I was ready. I had my popcorn. I was excited for the TJ versus Jimmy. Thought we'd get some fireworks. We obviously didn't. And after the game ends, you know, I'm flipping through on YouTube and I see House of Highlights. TJ Warren versus Jimmy Butler rematch. Full dual highlights. I was like, what? I just watched this game. What the hell are they going to... I had to click the video because I was like, I was just curious. How are you going to sell this as, you know, this is like must-watch clip here. It was 2 minutes and 25 seconds long. It was pretty damn boring. It was first 30 seconds were about the old, you know, setup, the actual fireworks when they went head-to-head. And then it was a couple highlights of Jimmy scoring. TJ had a couple buckets and that was it. It's like, come on. But you got me. They got me to click. I was like, oh, yeah, this is going to be good. Full dual highlights. Even though I just watched the game, I still clicked it. That was disappointing. It was a bit of honor. They're going to play again, right, Tass? These two teams. But will both of those guys be going in these games? Will things be decided in this final game? Especially if they are playing each other. I would expect we're going to see some a lot of rotation guys in that final seeding game between these two teams.
Yeah, definitely. On Friday, these two teams meet up. It's just the Heat defense is so good. You know, they are a better defensive unit than the Pacers unit, and that's where the... They're really close. I shouldn't say they're better currently. The Pacers rank a little higher, but when you're playing such a good defense, when you're the Pacers offense, you just need some out-of-body experiences a little bit. Like Malcolm Brogdon looks so ordinary going up against the big men inside of the Miami Heat. Oladipo ain't a star right now, so you needed a TJ Warren little stardom. And yeah, so it's very worrying for the Pacers going up against this really, really solid team that looks like they are ready to play together.
The final game we'll just touch on tonight. We're not going to get into the Raptors, you know, beating the Bucks. great win for the Raps with some of their guys deep in their rotation having good games. We'll get to one of them in Woboy, but we're just going to skip that one. No, Giannis, it doesn't matter. The shorthanded Mavs, though, did have a huge rally to beat the Jazz, 122-114. Now, this one also missing a lot of people. So, and this one was pretty ugly. But the Mavs came back from 22. The Jazz sort of gave away the game. I mean, they really were like, here you go, take it. And the only reason I bring it up for you guys and for everyone listening is there's a lot of still like things up in the air with the seeding in the Western Conference. And this Mavs win, it keeps them in play for like, I think the fifth seed even still, but the sixth seed for sure. And that might mean, I saw Hollinger point this out, Luka and Porzingis, they could play minutes against the Blazers on Tuesday. They may want that game to help their chances to get out of playing the Clippers in a potential first-round series, even though that one's not even locked up, really. Or maybe that is now that the Nuggets lost. Is that one locked up? Are the Clippers in the number two seed? Anyway.
Yes, I believe that is right.
Okay, so it could. So the Mavs could look at this game against the Blazers as, well, let's get it. Let's play our guys. And that would be big news for the Grizzlies and the Suns and the Spurs. But it is just, it's a shit show in the Western Conference. Yeah. Listen to this nonsense, guys. Okay. The Thunder. Well,
the Nuggets are definitely not locked into the, or the Clippers are definitely not locked into the two seed.
Okay, they're not.
No.
We're game and a half up. I mean,
the Thunder will finish fifth in the Western Conference if Utah loses its final on Thursday against the Spurs, and the Mavericks lose one of their final two games against Portland on Wednesday or Phoenix on Thursday. The Jazz could still move up to fifth, but that would require them to beat the Spurs and have the Thunder lose out. Utah could also fall to seventh if Dallas beats Portland on Wednesday and Phoenix on Thursday and Utah loses to the Spurs. And within all of this, Houston could still move up to the third. I mean, it is, there's really nothing decided in the Western Conference. We do have a couple now in the East as we were like figuring it out and wrapping up last night's show. It's like, we know it's the Bucks Magic. We know it's the Raptors Nets. And we will get to playoff preview podcasts a little bit later in the week, but we're not going to know here until the final, I would expect the final night, right? Where what matchups, or at least maybe two or three of the matchups in the Western Conference.
Yeah, the Jazz and the Thunder are both trying to avoid the Rockets, I think. That's why the Thunder tanked it today, and then the Jazz saw the Thunder tanked it, and they said, we'll tank it ourselves.
But again, right, that's so funny because the Rockets are not set where they are.
No, I know, but right? I think they're basing it on what they know today, yeah, and they're like, all right, they saw what OKC did, and they said, all right, we'll do one better than you here. So, I just think they both want the Nuggets if you're the Thunder and the Jazz, which is a bit of a surprise when you see, you know, when Jamal Murray's back in that team and the way the Nuggets have been playing, you know, they're not exactly going to be a pushover for either of those teams.
Right.
And if the Rockets, you know, again, without a big guy, and you look at the Thunder, if they have Steven Adams, and the Jazz, if they have Rudy Gobert, you think there is some sort of advantage there for them over Houston. So, interesting.
Yeah, I think it's like, when you play the Rockets, it's like, God damn it, here we go.
The Jazz do not want to play the Rockets again in the playoffs. No way.
No, yeah, and it's just sure. Like, you'd rather just play like, okay, Jokic is awesome, Jamal's back, they're going to be a tough out, but at least we know what they are, and it's, you know, we can play game plan. Like, the Rockets, you also know what they're going to do, but it's like, not going to be fun. They're either going to hit 25 threes, and got these tiny guys boxing out Giants. It's like, it's just going to be exhausting more than anything. So I could see why the reasoning is like, let's just avoid them, especially the Jazz, like you said, Trey. But we'll see. It's exciting that I guess we don't have anything decided. It makes our life a little bit more difficult when it comes to planning our schedule for the playoff previews, but we'll make them happen. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, we'll make them happen. We'll definitely do it. And honestly, like, I want to see the Clippers and the Jazz play. That's a much more competitive first round series than I think Mavs versus the Clippers would be. And, you know, Mavs versus Nuggets would just be awesome. Jokic versus Doncic, great times.
Yeah, yeah. That's a good point. I actually haven't really put much thought into, like, who I want to see, because it's like, well, as I just laid out there, I can't even keep track of it, really. Yeah, I don't even know what I don't even know what I just told all of you is actually true.
Yeah.
That's the wild part. I was pretty confident with it, but there was a lot of info there, and it's like, meh, you know, I may have maybe screwed up something there. It's crazy, Tess.
It's a lot of words. I saw that that little breakdown as well, and it's a little too much to really wrap your head around at this point. But you know, we got a couple days. There's no worries. I don't think we should really talk about seeding until we get there. It's no big deal. It's the West is going to be good. The West is going to be very good. Like, who
you think
are the,
all four? You think all four series are going to be pretty fun, competitive, whatever you want to call them.
No, I don't. I think the Jazz should be worried no matter who they play, and the eighth seed should be worried about the Lakers. I'm excited to see the Lakers play, the Clippers play. I'm now excited to see this Nuggets play with the new starting unit.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, this Rockets team is intriguing. OKC is intriguing. Dallas is intriguing. So yeah, I'm just more worried about the Jazz. And if it's a Blazers team playing against this Lakers team, I'm tuning in. But I think, you know, some of us were a little higher than others. We're riding that high a little earlier this week. But yeah, I don't think it's going to be a long series no matter who the Lakers play.
Six games. I'm still sticking to that prediction. Lakers are going to have to take six games to get out of the first round. I don't care who they're playing. Little bit. Honorable mentions to D-Book, Jimmy Butler, Anthony Davis had a monster game here late, but I'm giving it to Raptors big man, Chris Boucher. Massive dunk on a couple bucks, as I said right off the top of the show. Late last night, remember I threw Austin Rivers an honorable mention?
Yeah.
And I said, as we were like getting out of Woe Boy, I said, I'm going to see some weird Woe Boy winners over the next couple days here because of all these deep rotation guys getting minutes and an opportunity. Here's one of them. Boucher, this is a great line. 25 points, 9 of 15 shooting, 4 of 5 at the line, 3 threes, 11 boards, 2 assists, 2 steals, 2 blocks. Pretty damn good. That's like an Anthony Davis line right there. Really? That's like basically exactly what sort of
career high, right?
Yeah, it's got to be a career high. I don't know that for sure, but yeah. Woo! Chris Boucher. And a huge dunk on top of that, like I said. Okay, Lee, tweet of the night, my man.
Tweet of the night. Wow.
Twitter.
Yeah, so I just mentioned off the top of the show, no Yankees game today, but they're playing against the Braves tomorrow back at Yankee Stadium. So we'll be on Judgy Watch. Now, tweet of the night. So interesting as well. Earlier you asked about Paul Millsap's record against LeBron James in the playoffs, and he is 0-8 against LeBron James. And how's this for being rubbed in, the salt being rubbed into the wound here? Because after the game, Tanya Ganguly tweeted that Frank Vogel said he stole that last play of the game, which led to Kuzma's game winner from the Atlanta Hawks when Mike Budenholzer was their coach and used to run it for Kyle Korver and Paul Millsap. So Paul Millsap could never beat LeBron, but Frank Vogel is stealing plays to win games using a Paul Millsap play. So there you go. Tweet of the night.
It was a bad night for Kyle Korver, too. Did you see him? Took an elbow to the right under the eye. It looked like he was in a fight with Jimmy Butler.
No, I didn't see. I saw him knocking a few trays in, but that was it.
He was bleeding quite a bit. He's a bleeder. it was an ugly
known
elbow.
Fact.
Yeah, for sure. All right. Pick'em results from Monday in the bubble. OKC Phoenix was our game. It was an earlier game. Phoenix was favored by 4.5, and they dominated it. Now OKC was missing a lot of guys. Tass, you had OKC to maybe cover. They got killed, so that's a loss for Tass. He goes to 6-6 here in the seeding games. Trey got the win. Lee got the win. I got the win. Trey and Lee are 6-6 too, and I'm ahead of the pack right now at 7-5, so I'm one game up. Look at us, guys. We're like our very own version of a play-in tournament here, the Mega Bowl, the four of us. Who's who? Who's who? I guess I'm the Grizzlies right now. You guys are hot on my heels. What's our game tonight, though, Tass?
Well, I'm not going to get cute like I did with that OKC pick, like I'm Chris Paul Jr. Not going to be cute. No, sir. I'm going to keep this straightforward. There's only one line out because so many questionable injuries and people in and out of the lineup, so it's a 7-game schedule, but an important one for the Grizzlies at home, quote unquote, at home to the Boston Celtics, and they're getting 4.5 points. The Celtics have to win by 5 or more to cover against the Memphis Grizzlies.
Wow, yeah, who's playing for Boston?
Who is playing?
They didn't look all that inspiring against the Magic, though they pulled it out in overtime.
They've won 3 in a row.
Yeah.
More inspiring in the previous wins against the Raps was one of them.
They are locked in too, the Celtics.
They're locked in. I mean, Kemba, in, huh? Kemba, had they've been, you know, increasing his minutes. Do they just continue to do that, or does he like, or do they just give him a night off here? I'll go the Grizzlies. I'll get us started. For a long time, I've been saying Memphis will be in this thing, so I think they sort of lock up a spot if they pull out the W. And I don't even need the W. I get the point. So give me Grizzlies plus 4.5.
Yeah, I think I'm going to go Grizzlies too, just because a lot of these teams that have been locked in have not been given that effort at all. So we'll see who actually plays for the Celtics, and we'll see how much they even play when the game starts. So yeah, Grizzlies.
Yeah, that's the thing. What are the Celtics going to do? What are they going to do? Are they going to rest guys or not? I think they won't. I'll take the Celtics.
Okay. Okay. Tess? Yeah,
Brad says no. He likes playing guys. I'll take the Celtics as well for some reason. Yeah. I believe in Brad Wanamaker and Robert Williams and Shemi Ogilvy. Why the heck not?
That is the funny part about it. Like, you see, like, the starters are not playing, and you're like, well, that'll be a wrap. That's not always the case, because there's, like, a lot of these guys, they might be somewhat talented, and they're obviously, they're getting an opportunity, and they got their starters cheering them on, and it's like, yeah. Trying to make it.
Well, look at the Clippers. The Clippers the other day against the Blazers. Yeah. I mean, they basically said, "Take this game from us, take it," and the Clippers ended it for them. So yeah.
Yep.
You never know.
Well, let's call it there on a Monday night. JD, 12 consecutive podcast nights.
They said it couldn't be done, and here we are.
Here we are. Wow, 11 as we said last night. The most consecutive shows we've ever done. We did it in Vegas at least once or twice.
Twice.
Did we do it twice?
Yeah.
And you're 100% sure it was 11 nights in a row? I didn't go check, but you seem pretty confident.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
I think you remember that. Well, yeah, let's just go back and count the beer tabs in our pockets, because it, you know, went up exponentially every night while we were there at our Coronas at the pool. But Lee, the way Lee tells the story, we were drinking a keg of beer before we went in and did this show at night. Guys, keep emailing us your questions and comments to nodunks@theathletic.com. We'll be hitting the beach on Wednesday this week, so you got a few days to get your questions and comments in. Subscribe to No Dunks on YouTube. Smash those likes. If you listen to the pod on iTunes, leave your boys a sweet 5-star rating and review. Got a brand new shirt. We don't know how long it'll be up there, so go to nodunks.com. Merch alert, go grab it. I think you guys will really enjoy it. We'll be back tomorrow for a record-breaking 13th consecutive podcast. It'll be amazing. Tuesday
night. The Barry
night,
Bonds of the Bubble.
That's right.
Breaking records every night.
We'll be on live following the last big game of the day, or whenever the heck we decide to go live. Clipper Bros.
You heard it here first. Have a great time. Turn up. Love you guys. Awesome.
Thanks for joining us, and remember, there were some pool beers had, but I think tomorrow night, Lee may have to get an IV like he did in Vegas that one time.
$300 hangover. Wow.
Worth it.
Embrace the night, people.